This episode is brought to you by Total Restore. If you want to finally tackle your leaky gut, just watch the video at healthygut1.com. That's healthygut1.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I'm here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. And speaking of my opinion, I received an email, probably a couple weeks ago, that mentioned an episode that I did, and someone disagreed with one of my suggestions when it comes to handling stressful situations or traumatic events in your past. I forget the exact subject matter, but I'm just going to read you this email really quick. I always come on the air and I try to be as transparent as possible when people oppose anything I say or disagree with something I say or give me a bad review. I like to read it on the air and just sort of process it while I'm reading it on the air, and also share with you every view. I think it's important to have every view that you can, not just mine, not just one single view, one single person's word to go by. Because life is complex and people are complex, and there are certain things that we run into that might have several solutions. And I could have one of those solutions, or you could have many of the solutions, and my information doesn't work for you. So I like to come on the air and give you any opposing view that comes along, just so that I can give my opinion on it and address it and give you an extra piece of information that you can work with and apply to your life. And like I said, the disclaimer is these are my opinions. These are my thoughts. These are my ideas. These are what have worked for me in my life. Some of the stuff I talk about, or most of it or all of it, have worked for different clients over time that I've worked with. So there's all kinds of information out there, and I just want you to be armed. I just want you to be absolutely prepared for anything that comes along, or at least do your best. Prepare as much as you can. Have as many tools in your tool belt as you can. So I'm going to read you this email and then I'll comment on it. Hi, Paul. I love your podcast. However, I just listened to episode 312 where you mentioned dissociation. And I have to point out that it was extremely inappropriate to encourage dissociation as a coping strategy. And just a quick thing before I continue reading this, the way I look at dissociation is sort of when you disconnect from yourself, disconnect from the physical experience that you're having, and see yourself over there having the experience. So one of my examples is something I learned in NLP, is where you imagine you're watching yourself go through the experience. So there I am over there, 20 feet away, having that experience. And when you do this, you're disconnecting from the maybe negative emotions that you're experiencing over there. So that's how I see dissociation. And this is what this person is commenting on, my suggestion using it as a tool. And I'm going to go on and just read this and then I'll comment at the end. Dissociation is maladaptive and is problematic for conditions such as PTSD, panic disorder, and others. It leads to avoidance of a problem and disconnection from one's body, which has serious long-term consequences for physical health and coping with stressors. Evidence-based coping strategies, for example, yoga, breathing exercises, meditation, do the opposite of dissociation. They encourage connection with one's body and presence in the moment. Dissociation occurs naturally in children during times of abuse, for example, because they lack the resources to cope otherwise. But it is not a strategy to be encouraged among adults. It is not easy to regulate, and it does not encourage healthy stress management. This is important to note because I assume that many people trust your advice and gain a great deal from your guidance. Thus, it needs to be sound advice. Aside from this, I love your podcast, and thanks for your great insights. Okay, so that is a great email. This is the kind of stuff I like to receive, saying, hey, Paul, I disagree, and here's why. Because I don't want to give you bad advice, and at the same time, it gives me an opportunity to revisit my thoughts about what message I spread out there to you. And this moment to revisit this is interesting. I never really thought of it this way because I have differing opinions on this. One, she's absolutely right for the most part about when you use that as a coping strategy, that you can actually repress the emotions that you're going through. So let's just say that, okay, I'm using this strategy called dissociation, and I see myself over there dealing with the negative emotions or having a traumatic PTSD flashback or something, and I don't want to deal with that, so I'm going to be over here in this quieter space, safer space, watching myself over there suffer, and I feel better over here, you know, I'm just kind of making up a scenario, while that person suffers, yet what about tomorrow? Have I processed the emotions? Have I, you know, gone to therapy? Have I talked about it with anyone? Have I done anything else besides dissociate for the time that it was happening? And if I didn't, what happens to those emotions? Are they still there? Are they still inside of me? Well, probably yes. So this is where I agree with this person. Probably yes. Because you haven't dealt with them. They're over there. They're not being processed properly. So in this sense, yes, this can happen. Doesn't mean it always happens, but it can happen. If you're going through something traumatic and you do some sort of dissociation like that, and you see yourself over there or you imagine you're somewhere else, but you're safe in this space while that person, you over there, is dealing with it, you may never get an opportunity to process the anger or the sadness or, you know, whatever is happening inside of you at that moment. And if you don't process that, what happens? You carry it with you, and then you're relying on dissociation all the time, and then you can't do it all the time. So suddenly you're having some PTSD episode, and, you know, things get worse from there, and things continue the way they've always continued in your life, and you don't resolve the problem. So yes, this is absolutely 100% possible, and it can and does happen. So I don't disagree with that, and I'm so grateful that this person brought this information up, because I can share that with you and elaborate on something that I didn't talk about before. So thank you. Thank you to the person. I don't have a permission to use her name, but thank you to that person who wrote to me. I appreciate that. That is excellent. Now, here's where I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to disagree with it at all, but I'm going to add something to it. I think there are times in your life where dissociation can be very helpful. So this isn't a disagreement. You should still process this stuff. But I look at myself in certain situations I've been in. Let's just say I walk into a room and I'm experiencing heavy social anxiety. And I'm like really nervous about what's going on. Do I have an opportunity to slip out and do some yoga or some exercises? Maybe. I mean, I could go into the bathroom or I could go into another room. You know, can I sit there and meditate? Can I sit there and breathe? Sure, maybe. I mean, it's possible, probable, but will it help fast enough? Will it work for me? Maybe. All of these are just tools and all of these can work. But I myself have tried these tools. I did yoga for a couple of years. I did meditation. I did breathing exercise. I did all of these tools. These are all the tools that we're told over and over and over again. And, you know, they have function and they have benefits and they do work, but not always. Sometimes you still can't get past the thing you're going through, whether it's PTSD, whether it's anxiety in the moment, whether it's a stress that you can't deal with in the moment. Sometimes you have these tools and they don't work. Then what? Plus, you may not have time to do some of these things. You might be in the moment experiencing it now, and you need to get out of that fast. This is personally where I go with it. Again, I'm not disagreeing with everything this person wrote. I think it's spot on. But there's also, this can be a yes and, there's also the idea that if you need it in the moment, it could be very helpful. This is my opinion. This is my disclaimer at the beginning of the show says, always talk to a professional who would absolutely probably disagree with this. And, you know, that's fine. I am okay with that person disagreeing with me here. And I highly encourage you to talk to people smarter than me. Not that I think I'm dumb. I'm just saying there are people that have a lot more education than I do, that have probably studied this for many, many, many more years than I have. I'm giving my own personal history and my experience with clients on how this works. It's absolutely essential, yes, that you do deal with the emotions and any PTSD that you're holding on to and anything that might be coming out in destructive ways in your life. You do have to do that. That is all part of the self-growth and self-improvement path, is that you want to continue improving yourself, which means anything that you're carrying around, you need to process, you need to work on, you need to heal from. And when you're healed from that, then you don't have to rely on all these tools anymore. You have these other tools, yoga, meditation, breathing, and even being in the present moment, you know, practicing that, practicing presence. These are all ways to connect with yourself, because I believe that is the end result. I do believe the end result where you want to be most of the time, if not all the time, is to be fully present in your body, in yourself, be connected with you, so that you can show up in the world as you, not some dissociated person, which I think the email writer is getting to as well. At least she didn't say this, but you know, if I were to look at my words from that episode, I think it was a few weeks ago, I would probably say the same thing, because I'm looking at this going, you know, there are times that this can be helpful. And then there are times that maybe it's not a good coping strategy, like she says. So I fully support the yes and approach here. Yes, if you have trauma or abuse from your past and you have some sort of PTSD episode today, is it going to be healthy to dissociate instead of deal with it? If you do it all the time, probably not. If you know that you have stuff to work on, and this is kind of where I'm going with this, I've had a lot of stuff to work on in my life, just like you probably have a lot of stuff that you've worked on in your life. And sometimes you try and try again and don't get anywhere. Or you visit the trauma, or you visit the negative emotions or the negative thoughts, and you just don't get anywhere. Or you talk about it in therapy for years and years and years, and you inch along, and you're still feeling bad, or you're still feeling upset, or something else is permeating through you as you go throughout life. Whereas this could be seen as a quick temporary fix. Dissociation could be that quick temporary fix. Hey, look at me over there in the movie theater watching a movie on the screen of my life playing out, of those traumatic events playing out. That's the double dissociation, where I see myself in the theater watching myself on the screen. These are neat, temporary ways to cope. The person who wrote the email may not agree with this, and I'm cool with that. And I want you to discuss this with your personal professional. Do your own research on this and do what works for you. Because this is why I have this show. I try to teach you to do what works for you, not do what I tell you to do. I don't want anyone to go around thinking that I have the only best solution. I don't. I have ideas. I have thoughts. I have random things that just seem to work most of the time. But because I have a big reach and everyone is complex, all of us have complex emotional structures inside us, it's important to understand all the tools at your disposal and figure out which ones work best for you and as always, with the help of a professional. And so the last thing I want to say about dissociation is that it can be very helpful in the moment during the time you're experiencing something in the moment. I wouldn't suggest it if a fire breaks out, because now you have to be in your body and get the heck out of the room. But I would suggest it if there's just something you've been dealing with and you can't figure out how to get out of it, the situation, and you've tried all this other stuff and it doesn't seem to work, or you have an aversion to it. Some people have an aversion to these tools. Some people might get angry if I say, just breathe, just breathe. They might say, I've already tried that. I don't want to just breathe. I'm dealing with this right now. And that's when I might guide someone and say, okay, you know what? Let's visualize this for one moment. Imagine you're over there. It takes you out long enough to maybe process some stuff, to think clearly, to get out of perhaps irrational thought. There is benefit to dissociation. And I know what the letter writer is saying about children do this automatically when they're experiencing abuse. My girlfriend did this when she was younger. When she experienced her sexual abuse, she can't remember what she went through because as a child, she dissociated. I often found that people that dissociated as children haven't dealt with their trauma and their pain from the past. And this is sort of where I might have a difference of opinion with the letter writer, where as a child, if you dissociate, you could actually repress those thoughts, those memories, those emotions for many, many years, decades sometimes. As an adult who has a choice to dissociate, to see yourself over there and then step back into yourself, it can be a useful tool. But if you try this and it doesn't work, or you've dissociated in the past and that's how you've avoided negative emotions or avoided dealing with problems, then it's time to not dissociate, be fully present, and finally get to some closure or healing with it. And some people can't. I know some people have gone through all their lives with medication and therapy, and I've heard from so many people that have gone through all these different proposed solutions, and they've not gotten the help they needed. And something like dissociation might be the very thing that at least gives them a break. And so this is certainly a debatable issue. And certainly I could find more to support the person who wrote the email. I could find more information, more data to support that. And I can also find more data to support my side as well. Not that they're opposing. They're just a tool for use at different times for different things. And it can be helpful to have all the tools at your disposal. And if it's dissociation, great. And if it works, great, as long as you're not repressing or denying what really needs to be worked on in yourself. So there's my little PSA for the end of that. Just make sure that no matter what tools you use, no matter what path you take in life, whenever the negative emotions come up and they're the same ones that you've been carrying around a while, do yourself a favor. Try to address them. Try to process them. Try to work on them. Of course, use shows like this. Of course, see a counselor or a therapist. Of course, talk to your best friend. Use all the tools that you have available to figure out what works. Because I've seen way too many people just continue going along the same path and things just don't work. If the thing isn't working, try something else. If that thing doesn't work, try something else. I've had people write to me that say, you know, I did Reiki, I did energy healing, and my years of trauma that I've been carrying around for 20 years, 30 years, were gone. And I'll hear from someone who needs the scientific data and says, energy healing? What? You can't suggest energy healing. And I'll say, look, whatever works for that person is what worked. And if they're happy and they don't seem to be repressing and they don't seem to be acting the same way they used to be and they don't seem to be in denial and they're genuinely happy, what better outcome could you ask for? And so there's a lot of opposing opinions out there, and this is one of them. And like I said, I agree with most of what she said, and I have my own as well. And she probably has many more opinions about what works and what doesn't, and so do you. And you're brilliant, and you can figure this out as well. You can work on this. You can do this. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, whatever negativity you're still holding on to, remember, holding on to it is just not good for you. It really isn't. holding on to the negativity, holding on to that pain from the past, holding on to the hatred you have for that person or the guilt you feel about what you did, holding on to any of that stuff and carrying it forward with you only slows you down and keeps you inhibited from creating the best life you could possibly have and moving out of that space and into a newer, feeling better space is a great goal to move toward. I think that's what almost everyone listening is trying to do. Move toward feeling better, having a better life, having better relationships, creating better circumstances and creating a better environment for themselves, staying away from the toxicity so that you can wake up every morning and go, this is going to be a great day. That's the goal, right? We want to wake up every morning and just feel like this is going to be a great day. At least that's my goal. May not be yours. I hope it's something close to it, though. We'll be right back. Digestive troubles, weight gain, low energy, achy joints. If you've been struggling with any of these, Dr. Stephen Gundry says you're not alone, and he knows the real cause. Dr. Gundry is one of the most famous and well-respected diet experts in the world, and he says that most of these problems aren't about lack of exercise or even genetics. The real cause is leaky gut. Leaky gut happens when you eat certain foods that contain lectins, which are tiny little particles that tear holes in your digestive tract. These particles then wreak havoc on your insides, causing poor digestion, fatigue, achy joints and muscles, brain fog, and even worse health issues. So what's the solution? Well, you just need to know a few foods to avoid, and Dr. Gundry has made a free video describing exactly what they are. People who watch the video have reported more energy, smoother BMs, slimmer waistlines, and a stronger, healthier body. If you want to finally tackle your leaky gut, just watch the video at healthygut1.com. That's healthygut1.com. Welcome back. Good to have you back. I'm glad that you're still here listening, and I'm wondering if that person who wrote the email is now listening going, no, he didn't get it at all. I'm wondering if she's thinking, that idiot, he just spread a worse message out. I hope not. I hope that I was able to address her concerns and put them out there to you and also tell you why I think that she's right and that I have some good suggestions for you for when dissociation can be safe or useful. Either way, I am grateful for that person writing in and saying all that she did and that she loves the show. I love that you wrote. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for your kind words. And I have another email here that I'm going to read you, and I want to make a few comments on this one as well. This is from someone I'm going to call Sean. Sean says, I want to thank you for your podcast. I think I found it because I was feeling overwhelmed, and I searched overwhelmed in the Apple Podcast app, and I started listening. This was about a month ago when I was really depressed. My relationship was at a breaking point, and your words really just helped me realize so much what my partner and I were doing that was causing the relationship to fall apart. We decided to separate because our values were no longer aligned, and we both want different things in life, but we still really love and care for each other, so it's been a tough journey. Anyway, what I want to talk to you about is myself in relationships. I seem to get really depressed when I'm in a relationship. I feel like I lose myself and I just want the relationship so bad that I tend to do all the things that you say make you depressed. For example, repress emotions, show up as who I think they want, denial, etc. So my partner and I broke up about a month ago because of some of the reasons stated above. Also, we had some financial stress, so that caused us to fight a lot. Since the breakup, we've actually had to still live together due to the finances. And since then, we still seem to hang out, spend time together, and things have actually been a lot more civilized and fun than when we were together. We've even been helping each other out with money in a less resentful way. Since the separation, I felt my depression has lifted and I started to see and feel life again, which I hadn't for a long time. The future no longer looked bleak. I felt like I could look to the future and I felt happy. My self-confidence was growing by the minute and my inner joy was coming back. I felt that inner spark again. I know this is a combination of the relationship ending and listening to your podcast and doing personal growth, but this new me felt like the old me was back. My partner even started to notice I was better and said really beautiful things to me, like, I'm sorry, and don't ever feel like you have to change for anyone. You're amazing. My heart smiled, and just prior to this message, I started to miss him and consider what being together could be like now that I'm feeling more confident and myself again. Anyway, as we grew closer, it led to sex, and instantly I felt my power taken away. It was like being injected with depression. He still didn't want to be together and said, we are not ready. We still have a lot of growth to do, and our life journeys are taking us in different directions, which I agree with and actually feel as well. I think part of the depressed feeling was that I didn't want to get back together. I know we both still need growing time. I have to stress, I have had 3 major relationships in my life, and they all seem to end with me feeling in a similar way. Wanting to leave because I don't feel myself, my spark dulls. Do you have any idea why I do this to myself? I know I can be strong and powerful and have a mind of my own, but I seem to lose it in relationships. Any advice on this would be so helpful. Thank you. Okay, Sean, thank you so much for sharing all that. And what I'm hearing from you, first of all, is that when you're outside of the relationship and enjoying each other's company, and there's not sex and there's not the expectation of sex, you feel good about it and you feel like yourself and you're not depressed. But once the, and this isn't the totality of what you said, but once the introduction of sex came into it, you now are in a different state of mind. Like there is a certain closeness that wasn't there before, or a certain intimacy or bonding or something about sex, at least according to your letter, change your perspective of this relationship. And maybe because you were together before, that when the sex came back, suddenly you felt like you needed to be the person you were before. That could have happened. So I want you to keep that in mind. When you had sex again, you thought, this is right back to where we were before. I don't want to be stuck like that again. So this could be one of those realizations that you had, that once the sex is reintroduced into the relationship, you're back to exactly where you were. And of course, you said something key in your letter here. You said, I don't think I wanted the relationship anyway. I don't think I wanted to get back together. Isn't that enough for you to say that any type of closeness would make you feel depressed? You were getting along as friends. You were getting along because you liked each other's company. But when it came to sex and it turned into a real relationship, which is what I'm assuming you felt, like once there's sex, it's a real relationship again, then you feel like you're probably locked in. And I want you to ask yourself if you feel disturbed by those words, locked in. I'm locked in with this person. Now that we've had sex, I'm locked in. Because if that disturbs you in any way, like I'm trying this on if I were you, that would disturb me because I really didn't want this relationship in the first place. And once I have sex, that's a commitment. And I don't like the way that feels. That's how I grew up. Whenever I had sex with anyone, that was part of the commitment. That was like, I had sex. That's like signing the contract. That was me getting sucked into the relationship, whether I liked it or not, and staying in the relationship because we had sex. And I think that is just how some people are taught. Once you have sex, that is the bonding and ritual and the closure process of the whole getting to know you until we call each other our partners, our mates, our wife, our husband, whatever. The sex part seals the deal for some people. For others, it doesn't. For others, they can be friends with those benefits. For other people, they can do that. I was never able to do that, so I can relate to you. I can relate to the idea that once you have sex, there's that relationship part again. So I'm not saying that's exactly what you're going through. I don't know anything about you. I'm just making some assumptions to help me answer your email here. But I want you to think about any relationship that you had. Does it always come down to, when you start feeling depressed, does it always come down to feeling A, locked in, and B, because there's sex involved. And if there's no sex involved, like, have you ever been in a relationship where you didn't have sex for weeks or maybe months? And did you get along better or worse or the same? Sex may or may not have affected you because there might have still been the expectation of sex. But what happens when you take out the expectation of sex? That makes the relationship different. If you absolutely knew that the person you were with didn't want sex, at least, you know, you knew they only wanted sex once a month, and now you have a whole month of no sex. I know I'm focused on the sex part. We'll get to other stuff here in a second, but let's just talk about the sex part, because I want to make sure that if it is the sex part, if once you have intimacy with a partner, does it make you feel like you're locked in, and do you feel like you have a choice after that? Meaning, do you feel like your choices were taken away? You know, we're talking about choices in the last segment. How many choices do you leave yourself after you consummate the relationship? You use that term. So these are important questions for you to know. You may have no problem with sex whatsoever, and it has nothing to do with that. But the reason I focused on that is because if it does revolve around that, then that will be your focus in your own personal development. Because if you had any traumatic experience with sex in the past, that's something we need to look at. That's something we need to process and work on and heal and get through it to be more comfortable with it. Like I said in the last segment, my girlfriend went through childhood sexual abuse and she had a real issue opening up for sex. In fact, she would rather not have sex, at least when we first met. She would rather not want to do any of that stuff. It was a lot easier to have a companion, to have someone that loved her, to have someone that was with her all the time, than to have to face the dilemma of sex. Because some people have, you know, issues around that. Some people have trauma around it. And when you have someone in your life that either is or isn't aware of the trauma and might be more aggressive or assertive than you want them to be, then you're never going to enjoy it, and it's going to bleed into the rest of your life, and it's going to bleed into the rest of your relationship, and you will carry around a certain anxiety or fear about the sex, and you can't enjoy your relationship. And so what do? You start repressing the negative emotions because you want to enjoy the relationship, and as you repress, you get depressed. And this is what you're talking about. Like, I did all the signs that what happens when I get depressed. I started repressing the emotions. Well, it might be around sex, or it could be around something else. Again, I'm making the assumption here that sex was a trigger for you in some way, but it may not be. I don't have enough information, but I'm saying this for the benefit of anyone listening. If you have any sort of fear or trauma around sex, it gets into your entire relationship because you're either anticipating it in a negative way, expecting your partner's going to want it and you don't, or you do want it, but you're afraid of it, or you have trauma around it, or your partner's assertive or aggressive and you haven't addressed it. All these elements of fear and trauma around sex, it permeates your entire relationship, and it can and it will cause depression. So you just have to work on that if that's the case. You definitely want to talk to your partner about it. This is the part of a relationship that so many people don't talk about, and they just hold on to it. They just hold on because I shouldn't have any fears around sex. I should be able to do this. This should be easier than it is. That's what we do to ourselves sometimes. That's what I did for a long time. This should be easier than this, so I'm not going to talk about it because I'll feel stupid talking about it. It does require you being vulnerable. With sex, there's so many couples that don't want to discuss it, especially when there's a problem in the bedroom. But it's so vital if you want to improve your entire relationship, if you have any fear or trauma around sex, that you need to talk about it. And a good way to start the conversation, if you've never brought it up or you're afraid of bringing it up, is to say, you know, you buffer it with a comment like this: I'm afraid to talk about this. I mean, you tell your partner, I want to talk to you about something, but I'm afraid of how you'll feel. You address the concern you have inside of you, but you're honest about it. I am afraid of how that person will feel. I'm afraid that you'll see me as whatever, inadequate. I'm afraid that you'll think I'm stupid. I'm afraid that you'll think that I don't care. I'm afraid that you'll think that I think you're unattractive. Bring up your fears to your partner and say these things. Say what you're afraid, what will happen if you talk about it. I call that priming. You're priming your partner so that not only you prepare yourself to talk about it, but you prepare them to not blow a gasket. So, because if you bring something up and you say, you hurt me when we have sex, someone might say, what? You've never told me this. We've been doing this for 5 years and this is the first time. They might say that. This is why it's important to prime them a little bit and say, look, I want to tell you something, but I'm so afraid of your reaction. I'm so afraid of your response. I mean, you don't say it that way, but if that's how you feel, I'm afraid of your response, so I don't want to talk about this. It primes them. And if they realize, wow, this person that I'm with fears my response, you know what they're going to do? They're going to be super observant and hyper aware of their own response from that point on. And I'm 99% sure they're not going to fly off the handle. They're actually going to be empathetic. Unless they don't care. I mean, if we're talking about an emotionally abusive person or a violent person or, you know, someone else that really doesn't care and just does whatever they want, then that's a different scenario. What I'm talking about is in a typical, normal relationship, if you have things you haven't talked about and you're afraid to talk about them, just say, I'm afraid of what this will do to you. I'm afraid of how you'll respond. I have something to say, but I don't want to say it. They're going to be more receptive. They're going to be more willing to listen and help you through it and help you figure it out together. Like I said, typically. So Sean, that's what I want you to consider. If it's anything about sex, that's my advice for that, is that you need to open up. You need to really be vulnerable. Because if this is the person that you do want to be in a relationship or anyone that you meet and you have fears or trauma around sex, that needs to be addressed. Now, let me go on to my next comment here, because it may not be anything about sex. Sex just might have been the impetus to trigger the old feelings of not wanting to be in this relationship or whatever. But I hope that was helpful either way. My next comment has to do with, you can learn why you get depressed if you know what's different. Like, there's a couple of questions that I learned during my training many, many years ago that has been a huge help when determining why you feel differently in different situations. And the two questions are, and you might want to write these down, are what's present in your life when you're happy that's missing from your life when you're depressed? What's present in your life when you're happy that's missing when you're depressed? And you can pause and think about that, or just write it down and think about it later. But the next one is, what's missing from your life when you're happy that's present in your life when you're depressed? What's missing from your life when you're happy that's present in your life when you're depressed? Those are two powerful questions that can give you some really insightful answers. So you can look at your relationship. You can put your relationship in those two questions and figure out what you come up with. Like, what's present when I'm happy in my relationship that's missing from my relationship when I'm depressed? And so you're going to come up with different answers. And there's no wrong answer. Just write down what you come up with. And that's really the best way I can guide you today, Sean, is that you ask those questions to figure out what's different and figure out why you're not as happy in a relationship. And of course, you know, you could have relationship trauma. You could have family trauma when you were in childhood that you saw your parents fight and you remembered them fighting, and you bring that feeling that you had as a child that you wish they would just stop fighting and they would be maybe better off not being together. Who knows what thoughts you had back then? And you brought it into the present. I mean, that's another thing that you can kind of explore here, is that when you start feeling depressed, you ask yourself, when did I first feel this way? Was it in childhood? Was it when I was older? Was it when I was in my first relationship? When did I start feeling this downward spiral, or whatever you want to call it, that brought me into this depressed state? Because depression can come from not addressing something that happened to you in the past. So I'm sure there's so much more to explore inside yourself, Sean, but I think it's vital to understand the differences between how you feel before you had sex and after you had sex, or if it wasn't about the sex, while you were in the relationship, as opposed to while you were going through the breakup phase or you weren't necessarily together. Understand the differences so that you can pinpoint exactly what's causing you to feel the way you do. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this helps. We'll be right back. I'll say some thank yous and my final words after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our sponsor, Total Restore. Head over to healthygut1.com and check out the video. Maybe it'll change your life. I also want to thank patron members that support the show over at patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. If you're in the patron program, you get discounts on a couple of the workbooks that I offer, and you get a bunch of free stuff, a bunch of free workbooks, and a bunch of free episodes that you've never heard. Never put them out there. So if you're a patron member, I hope you are enjoying the perks. And if you're not, and you find value in this show and you want to support the show, head over to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com and show your support. Thank you, existing patron members. I appreciate you. And speaking about relationships, if you haven't heard my other podcast, Love and Abuse, I highly recommend you check it out. It is about difficult relationships and how you can identify emotionally abusive behavior. But it's not just for relationships that are having difficulty. It's for any type of relationship. If you have any trouble in your relationship, you may find just little nuances in your behavior or your partner's behavior could be causing the issues, and resolving those nuances could make everything better. So check it out. Go to loveandabuse.com, listen to the podcast. And also, if you are experiencing relationship difficulties, you'll find the Mean Workbook on manipulation and emotional abuse over there as well. And I talked about anxiety in this episode. If you have anxiety or have experienced it quite a bit throughout your life, check out quietbegins.com. That is a product that I offer. It's an audio masterclass, so to speak, along with a lot of walkthroughs and visualizations to help you get through and out of anxiety moments. It's at quietbegins.com. It's a super duper system. You should check it out. Quietbegins.com has all the information. So maybe it's the perfect thing for you. And finally, I'd like to thank Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And in closing, I want to bring up the idea of asking questions to yourself. I think questions are the answer. They are the key. They are everything that you need to resolve most of your problems. Well, a lot of your problems, maybe not most of them, but at least the emotional stuff. Like, instead of all the negative self-talk that can often happen, like, oh, I'm so stupid. You know, that negative self-talk that makes you feel bad. Turn it into a question. That's all you have to do. Just turn it into a question. I know I make it sound easy, but after you hear it, because it's hard to stop, you're going to hear yourself say, oh, I'm so stupid, or whatever the self-talk is. Turn that into the question. So, okay, what are the words? I'm so stupid. The question might be, why do I think I'm so stupid? Why do I think I'm such a failure? That's a good question. How about, where does that come from? It's another good question. Where does that come from? How about, when did I first hear that about myself? Who in my life told me that about me? Who in my life convinced me that I was stupid or not good enough or whatever the words are for you? How about changing it up a little bit? Would I feel stupid if I was in a different city or a different state or a different building? Would I still feel this way if I was with different people? Would I still feel this way if I had a different job? You know, you put yourself in different context to figure out if your thoughts change. Because what ends up happening is you start changing these little things around you and you start finding out the differences. Just like I was telling Sean in the last segment, you find out what's different. You add the differences to your thought process to find out if the differences make the difference. Here's an interesting line of questioning. Think about a good father figure or a good mother figure in your life. They could be yours. They could be someone else's. They could be someone on TV. Think of someone that you look at and go, wow, if I had that person for a mother, or if I had that person for a father. And make the question in your mind, if I had that person as my mom, would I still feel this way about myself? Or if I had that person as my dad, would I still feel this way about myself? Or if that's kind of strange, you can say, if my mom said this instead. And that might give you an idea if you weren't pointing at your parents the way you feel now, that maybe they were the ones that brought those thoughts up in you and you didn't really point your finger at them before. I'm not saying you should blame them or accuse them. I'm just asking you to explore this inside yourself. If I didn't have a brother, if I didn't have a sister, would I still feel this way about myself? This is like a process of elimination. And you figure out where these things came from. Because I guarantee you, any type of negative self-talk did not originate in you. Guarantee it, because we aren't born into this world to self-harm. We only learn that from others. We only learn that through someone else's influence or manipulation or mistreatment. And when we learn that, then we apply to self. And when we are applying that behavior to ourselves, that's when life can feel pretty crappy. Because now we're calling ourselves names and we're putting ourselves down, and we shouldn't do that. We don't need to do that. My cure for negative self-talk sometimes is to inflate my ego. I love to inflate my ego when I'm down on myself because it levels me out. So if I'm feeling really bad, I'm feeling really stupid, I might find a way to show off. I might go lift a couch and show my girlfriend, say, hey, look how strong I am. I'm kind of exaggerating, but it's that kind of mentality that helps to level things out. Because sometimes you have to do that. You get so down on yourself sometimes. How do I lift myself up? How do I lift myself out of this? I might have to exaggerate by going in the other direction. You know what? I'm going to go show off. I'm going to go rev my engine in my car. I'm going to go show my friends a picture of me when I was 20 and say, look how great a shape I was in then. It just makes me feel better. It makes me laugh. And, you know, again, I'm exaggerating on some of these things, but it gives you thoughts, gives you ideas on how to perhaps get out of some sort of mental block that you're in or mental obstacle that you can't get past. And sometimes those are helpful. So that's the direction I'm giving you today, is go into that questioning mode, ask yourself those questions, and even come up with your own. And also balance the emotional scale by pushing yourself in the opposite direction, almost in an exaggerated way, just so you can get a good laugh. Maybe laugh at yourself. It's kind of fun. And always keep an open mind. This will help you step into your power so that you can be firm in your decisions and actions, and that will help you create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.